He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the Thursday, September 7th, 2023 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. It's a rough open for the NASDAQ once again. And most of the damage seems to be in the Apple. You know, we had that Chinese news yesterday about the government telling their officials don't use Apple phones. And it's also spreading to the chips, semiconductor stocks here today. The NASDAQ is down 219 points. That's a 1.6% drop right now. And this comes on the heels of two previous days of down days. The Dow is only down 5. It's at 34,438, so this seems to be centered around tech. The S&P is down 33, which puts it at 4,432. It's down 0.75%. The small caps are down 1%. Crude oil down 28 cents right now to 87.26. Gold's down a dollar, 1943. The 10-year is quiet today, okay? You would think there would be a jump in the 10-year, but there is not. Anticipation of the Fed, I think, is more of a factor right now. The 10-year is at 4.28% today. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, it's another rough start, particularly for the tech stocks. The NASDAQ, which is down over 200 points today. It seems to me that fear of the Fed and a rate hike, maybe not at the next meeting, but the meeting after that, has entered back into the picture.
Right, or just higher for longer, certainly. And, of course, you know, combination, I think, like you said, chip names and tech names, particularly Apple, hit when, you know, just in terms of you know, some warning signs from China, what that's going to look like, how that's going to affect, you know, Apple in general. And then, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, initial jobless claims, you know, fell for the fourth week in a row, came in, you know, I think around 14,000 under, actually, looks like more like 18,000 under the estimate. So, that, you know, kind of leads into your fear of the Fed speak.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So, you know, that's 4 weeks in a row now where we've had these very low numbers, and that's fear of the Fed. But, you know, I mean, the Fed also has to take into account the global economy, other factors. But, like you said, the market is hyper focused on the Fed right now. The NASDAQ was down more than 1% yesterday. The Dow was down about 200 points. And it was yesterday, it was the kind of the economically sensitive, the industrials, et cetera, that got to hit pretty hard. You've got a two-day losing streak now for the S&P 500. Today would make the third day. We're also kind of in between news cycles, all right? We've closed down the second quarter earnings season. It's over. It came in better than expected. We're looking ahead to the next quarter. But we're in between, okay? We're betwixt and between. We've got 3 weeks left until this quarter ends. We enter into earnings season or earnings warning season. We had a couple of warnings yesterday from airlines. Based on higher fuel
right?
prices.
Yeah, yep. That's what you said. Yep.
And we are seeing signs, you know, around the world of a slowing global economy. So we definitely have to have our antennas up. I look at the European numbers that come out every day. I look at the Chinese numbers.
Yeah, did you see the recent GDP number out of the EU? I mean, that
was 0.1.
Right. Yeah, which is just barely right growth. I mean, that's a huge. We've looked at it before in terms of, you know, the European Union, particularly when you include the UK is the largest economic zone in the world, and you know, for them to be growing at 0.1, right? Well, then of course, what is the US, and then what does, you know, China have to do, right, to help bridge that gap for the world economy?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we're really kind of the only ones kind of holding up that end of the bargain at this particular moment.
Yeah, and we're not talking 1% growth. We're talking 1/10 of one, like the wind blowing 1 mile per hour, barely detectable. And then over here, you know, we got a hotter-than-expected ISM services. I think that helped the sell-off yesterday because that creates that fear of the Fed. And then we get the, you know, the unemployment claims today lower than expected, which is also inflationary. And oil at $87 per barrel, that's also inflationary. Now let's throw on top of that several of our Fed friends from the Fed, speaking today.
Right, yeah. We got Williams, right? I know Williams is speaking. Let's see. I think there's so many that it came. Yeah, here's a list.
Oh, my gosh. We've got
Harker,
a list.
We got Harker. We got Goolsbee. We got Williams, Bostic. He's speaking twice. I think Raphael's speaking twice. Once at 3:45, and then you can catch him at 7 p.m. And then, and then Lori Logan at 7:05 p.m. So that's your Fed lineup for the.
Is it still 100 grand a pop to hear a Fed speaker?
Yeah.
And of course, they can move the markets, and they all have different opinions. Some of them are very hawkish, some of them are very dovish. And so buckle your seatbelts. Now, yesterday, the Beige Book came out. It kind of showed that there was slowing in our economy. So that was good, but it was the ISM services report yesterday that came in hotter than expected.
And why services, right? Because services are, you know, number one, are sticky, and you know, one of the stickier parts of inflation. Also, you know, from a U.S. economy standpoint, right? It's one of our, you know, we are a quote unquote service economy, and that, you know, those as that heats up, that means there remains demand there, which keeps prices higher. So.
Yes. So 216,000, that's where the initial jobless claims came in. Productivity climbs 3.5%. Labor costs rise more than expected in Q2. So that's another problem, right? I mean, that seems to be the one area that just will not cool off, is that labor market. That's not good. Labor cost and oil prices going up right now.
Productivity has not hasn't been great late. It came in a little bit less than consensus, but yes, I mean, you got unit cost going up, productivity still, you know, certainly, and you can argue is not keeping up with that unit cost increase, and so. And that further creates that mismatch between labor cost and output.
Well, I continue to wade my way through all of the smoke that's out there, all of the noise, put on the headphones to block out all of the external noise and focus on earnings. And I haven't seen earnings budge one way or another. If anything, they've been going a little bit higher. That's earnings expectations. So that's what we're hyper-focused on, and on interest rates, obviously, because those are the two main components of the market valuation. China posted smallest trade surplus in 3 months. Okay, now that's not good. That means that they are not sending out. They're not exporting as much as they usually do, and they're citing weakening global demand. Trade surplus slumped to $68 billion. August, it was $79 billion. So that shows continued weakness from demand for Chinese goods, and it shows up in their trade surplus.
And the trick is how's that going to look going forward, right? Is that something they're going to fix, right? Or, in some form or fashion, or is there, some structural change where we talk about, U.S. decoupling from, certain supply chains, right, from China or what have you. And, some of that demand, right, at least that growth that we've seen in the past, they may not grow at that clip anymore simply because their economy is also bigger.
That's exactly right. Okay, now when we come back, you've got one of the biggest banks in the world warning that a global slowdown is on the horizon. So there seems to be a lot of smoke signals going up around the world, and it's showing up in some of the reports, maybe not in the U.S., but in the Chinese and the European reports for sure. Who is that bank and what are they saying? We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. It's Barclays out of the UK that is warning that a global slowdown is on the horizon. What do they mean by horizon? By this Friday? By next month? They're saying that a global slowdown, they anticipate a global slowdown in economic growth. Now, this is GDP. This isn't earnings. But they are correlated in 2024, as the multinational banking firm stated that its base case predicts a mild slowdown across the U.S. and Europe, along with continued weakness out of China. They expect the world economy to moderate from a 2.8% growth to 2.3% next year, as U.S. growth pulls back. Barclays outlined in an investor note to his clients. Barclays has usually been pretty good about their global outlook on the economy. The organization went on to say the global economy should slow a little as the U.S. downshifts from the strong pace of early Q3 to a mild slowdown, though not a material recession. So that is according to Barclays. Now, Apple really kind of started all of this, it's put more gasoline on the fire, okay? We were already having nervousness yesterday about interest rates drifting higher, mainly caused by oil prices drifting higher. And then along comes China, okay? Saying we're worried that the Chinese government has told its agencies to stop using iPhones. Now, today, Wedbush is weighing in and saying these worries are overblown. And I said,
Dan, I guess that's what Dan Ives out of Wedbush, correct?
Yes, and I do see some buying coming into Apple, but there's been some damage done to Apple over the last 2 days, and I was talking about all the charts I look at, and the one that worried me the most on Wednesday, was Apple, and now it's down again today, but it's starting to hit support, and now you're starting to get some favorable comments from people like Wedbush that know the stock very well. Apple, has gone now from, it hit 190, it's down 14 points. That's a pretty big drop. That's about a 7-8% drop in just 2 days on that. I don't know if it's news or if it's a rumor. We still haven't really had anybody say yay or nay on that. Wedbush has a $230 target price. I think they're a little too high there, but it's at 176, so if you believe in Wedbush, that's a pretty good buy on Apple today at 176 and a 230 target price. We have the stock. Now, it has come down. Let me just look where its five-year upside potential is right now. It's been pretty narrow here recently. It's 41.7 with yesterday's sell-off. So I would say with today's sell-off, the stock has about 45% upside potential, according to my formulas, over the next 3 to 5 years, which is
about 35. Yeah, about 35% just a couple weeks ago.
So, yeah.
And that kind of shows, like you said, shows some of the pullback that's happened in the name.
But 41 is very subpar. I mean, we're looking for 75% or more. So at 41, I mean, it's a hold at best here. But you are getting some firms coming to the defense of Apple. And, of course, they've got their iPhone 15 announcement coming out later this month. Okay, you think AI has peaked? Pentagon said to plan massive AI fleet to counter China and other foes. Well, what could go wrong there? This is what worries me. You know, when AI starts infiltrating areas that could bring about nuclear war or whatever, you start to worry a little more. The U.S. Department of Defense within the next 2 years plans to deploy an extensive network of technology, drones, and autonomous systems powered by artificial intelligence to ward off threats from China and other foes. The Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday, the Pentagon intends to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to produce thousands of air, land, and sea-based artificial intelligence systems that are intended to be small, smart, and cheap, she said. One possibility will be the further development of capabilities demonstrated by Task Force 59. That's the U.S. Navy's network of drones and sensors that monitor Iran's military activities in the Middle East. So anyways, I mean, that's where warfare is going. It's going to artificial intelligence. And millions, hundreds of millions to be spent by our government. Of course, we've got the money to spend, you know. We've got an extra $2 trillion to spend every year over what we take in. It just adds to the deficit, and it pushes interest rates higher, which is not a good deal. Now, another stock that disturbed me yesterday, speaking of defense, is I looked at all the charts of stocks yesterday, about 1,000. I didn't like the chart of Lockheed Martin. We don't own Lockheed Martin. But I said, that's a lousy chart. It got hit big time yesterday. It's because of a report on F-35 delays. Lockheed was down 5% yesterday, one of the biggest losers in the S&P 500. Okay, late last month, Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger disclosed that the company had received a prepayment for its foundry business. There's a lot of controversy over them getting back into the foundry business. That means they're going to be a fab, actually fabricating the chips. And, you know, it's a low-margin business. It's dominated by Taiwan Semiconductor, who's light years ahead of everybody else. But, nevertheless, Intel wants to get back in the business, and they've got a plan that they're executing. One analyst out there is saying that even though Intel hasn't disclosed who this company is, they think it's a whale, meaning a very large customer that Intel has landed to make their chips for. So I don't know. That's the rumor. And, of course, Intel stock has been performing pretty well. It's hard to, you know, look, that's the chart of the day right there, Intel. Check that out, Barry. On a day when I just happened on that chart. It's the first time I've looked at it today. On a day when, the NASDAQ is down over 1%, look at the chart of Intel. It's up 2.5%. And also note that it's breaking out today. It's breaking through resistance at 37. 52-week high and a breakout. Maybe they do have a whale in the net there at Intel. Something to take a look at. It is a dividend and growth stock. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've got 3 weeks until the end of the third quarter of 2023. And then we'll start the earnings parade all over again. The companies right now are scrambling to make close those deals, I suppose, keep the cost under control. Doing everything they can to meet or beat their earnings estimates that are out there. We'll be tracking that. We have early expectations that we now have for this coming quarter. We track that every single week as, you know, the companies communicate. Some of them warn publicly. But these analysts are pretty much in pretty constant contact with the companies that they cover and getting guidance from them. Not specific, not exact guidance, but guidance. And that reflects in their earnings estimates. So that will be the next big thing to happen in the market will be the earnings season, the final earnings season of this year. And then the next one won't happen until mid-January of next year. Okay, Lucid is eyeing a timing for launch in China. Well, Lucid's a very expensive car. I want to say they're well over $100,000, and there's a lot of competition in China, a lot of competition. But they are looking to sell cars. Obviously, it's a big market over there. We had Tesla's report couple of days ago where they had a good day in the market. That was on Tuesday when we came back from vacation. They had really good sales in China. Lucid, however, you know, a brand new entrant. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, you gotta roll some. You gotta ramp up production. That's the key.
They're still struggling. And the other one that's trying to ramp up production is Fisker. With their Ocean SUV, and they're after a global market for their car. You know, ramping up production is one thing. The second thing is having a profitable assembly line that where you actually make money on cars. That takes a while. You know, you can look at Elon Musk and how long it took. Many of us had our doubts whether or not he'd ever be profitable. Because he was way more focused on sales for many years than he was. He just figured that at some point the EBITDA and the earnings would come, and they finally did. Okay, Dell was the stock of the week last week. Dell Technologies, as they entered into the AI space, okay? And it's like I say, the AI space is not over with. There's still going to be a long runway, I believe, of participants, new participants, companies benefiting from, companies creating things. My problem with Dell is at this point in time, it's pretty hard to tell what their earnings might look like. They've been flat. Dell has had flat earnings for the last decade. In fact, over the last 5 years, their earnings have been going down by 5% per year. This year, they're expected to go down by 18% year over year. And then maybe they get a shot in the arm here from AI, but they're getting a downgrade today, Barclays, saying that, you know, a little overdone here. And I'm not coming up with much upside potential. There would have to be some unknowns out there that come to pass for the company. Okay, McDonald's lands a bull rating. Let's take a look, all right? You know, we're always looking for non-tech stocks. Obviously, you don't want to own 100% tech stocks. They can be pretty volatile. McDonald's, I currently have upside potential. Okay, this is where a company for me, if it can't make this first cut on valuation, then it does make my valuation cut. I have 79% upside potential for the venerable old McDonald's. Not a great chart, but I would say maybe it's cheap at this level. I mean, it was up around 300. It's at 275. So maybe it is worth a look. I definitely will update my valuation there. I make a note to myself just to make sure there haven't been any changes here recently. But McDonald's does show 79% upside potential. The momentum is very dull. 58 on a scale of 1 to 99. Let's see if they put out a target price on the stock. Shares of McDonald's, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't list their target price here. Pfizer, talk about a stock that has just been hammered in a new low yesterday. Now, I do see that they expect approval within a few days of the latest vaccine. That's the word I'm looking for, of the latest vaccine.
Oh, yeah, you said they were working on that. I think you mentioned either last week or week before last in terms of you know, where their next income stream is going to be, because that's been certainly a rough stock, especially when you look at it compared to a Lilly or a Novo Nordisk, obviously.
They need to change their focus away from vaccine to weight loss drugs. You know, I saw another stock yesterday. Who was it that benefited from this whole? Oh, it was Dexcom. They were making arguments that Dexcom is also part of the weight loss strategy, because you have to continuously monitor your glucose levels. And we were wondering why we saw Dexcom have a big day, I think, on Tuesday, and we were wondering why, what's going on there. And it seems to be tied to part of the whole weight loss industry that is really growing between Lilly and Wegovy for Novo Nordisk. ChargePoint falls after missing estimate. You know what? Dang, you know what? I thought ChargePoint would be a player. It just is getting pounded now. Now you wonder if it'll be a survivor. It's down 19% today. Another one, I can't remember who it was, but another big car manufacturer adopted Tesla's charging technology. So it seems like ChargePoint's just going to get little bits and pieces here and there of the charging business, when for a while they look like one of the most promising companies out there. And then another one here that is in the news today is Circle K, which they report earnings. The name of Circle K is Alimentation Couche-Tard. Okay, they're out of Canada. And they own more gas stations than any other company all around the world. And, of course, they're going to be a major player in all of this because they're converting their gas stations, right, to electric charging stations. So, anyways, that is the those are the earnings reports that we've had here today. Now, I'll begin the newsletter here today. I've got about three or four stocks that I've narrowed it down to as far as the featured stock of the week. Last week we featured a small cap stock. Last time I looked, it was up today. It is up today. It's up $1.18 today, our featured stock of the week from last week. We like it a lot. We think it's one of the best growth stories in the entire market right now. And very little known under the radar stock. Okay, that was in the newsletter last week. Yeah, you can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. This week, I've got it nailed down to about 3 or 4. We'll see what it is. You can get, again, 2 free weeks, which every week now we're including our featured stock of the week, which requires a little bit more work on my part, but we're also, giving these articles to Seeking Alpha after I add some
meat on the bones. Keep those ideas coming.
Yeah. They want one article a week from me right now, so we'll see if we can keep up that kind of a pace. We definitely got an article out. It's funny, too, because, you've got several million people following a stock like NVIDIA, and you write about an under-the-radar stock that people should be hearing about. There's very few people that follow the stock, so they don't get an alert when somebody like me writes a report about it. That's how the game works on Wall Street. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market has improved somewhat since we began. And as I look inside, as I look underneath the surface of the market, it's kind of a market of haves and have-nots today. I mean, there are definitely, it's not like, a whitewash of the market, and the market gets really spanked. It's like everybody is punished, It's not like that at all today. It's kind of a bifurcated market. You've got some winners. Looking at the Dow, there's quite a few stocks having a good day. We mentioned Intel. I'm going to call Intel the stock of the day, up 2.1%, and notably breaking out to a new 52-week high. What's gotten into Intel all of a sudden? They're getting into the foundry business. They already do, manufacture chips, but not in a big way. Nothing like Taiwan Semiconductor, who manufactures about 80% of the chips in the world. I think it would be good to see some other ones. You've got Global Foundries up in upstate New York is a player. But Intel seems to think that that can be accretive to their earnings down the road. And, the rumor is today that they did announce that they had somebody on board that wants them to manufacture chips. They did not disclose the name. And the rumor is today is that it's a whale. I don't know what that means. Is it a Qualcomm?
AMD? I know whales are smart. Are they in whales are in AI now?
Yeah, they're big. I think it's the size. Okay, Merck is up 1.4%. Listen to this. The Dow is not that bad. Johnson & Johnson's up 1.4. United Healthcare up 1.3. Amgen, which has weight loss aspirations of its own. Amgen's up 1.2. McDonald's is up 1%. Travelers is up 1%. That's not exactly a whitewash of the market. Now, on the downside, like yesterday, it's really centered around Apple. Apple is having an oversized effect on the indexes because it's an oversized stock. Apple is down 3.4%. today, and being a big member of the Dow, being a big member of the S&P 500, being a big component of the NASDAQ, that's making the indexes look a whole lot worse than they really are. When you look under the surface, there's a lot of winners in the indexes, but Apple, biggest loser in the Dow, down 3.4, Nike's down 2.3. As I look at the S&P 500, I see the same thing. You know, I see a lot of healthy stocks there in the S&P 500. WestRock is the leader at 4.7. We have a WestRock. They're closing. I think they were closing in late August, the one here in Charleston. They make paper. Centene is up 3.8. So for whatever reason, the healthcare stocks, especially the managed healthcare stocks, maybe it's a move into defensive stocks. Centene's up 3.8. T-Mobile got some kind of big contract today. I can't remember who that was with. It's up 3.5. Pulte, a home builder, up 2.5% today as the home builder stays strong. You think that tech's getting whacked today? Well, not Meta Platforms, the company formerly known as Facebook. Meta is up 2.3% today. So like I say, you know, it's not exactly a whitewashing. Lilly's up 1.8% today. That's the drug, the other big player in the weight loss sector with their Mounjaro drug. Intel's up 1.7. Valero Energy is up 1.6. So, like I say, not as bad as it might seem if you're just looking at the indexes. On the downside in the S&P, Seagate, down 7.4. Okay, that's that memory chip stuff. Qualcomm, down 6.7. They've been struggling for quite some time now. Applied Materials down 4, and Apple down 3.3. Those are the losers in the S&P 500. Okay, now let's look at the NASDAQ, the QQQ. One thing we're not getting to today, Barry, we're not getting interest rates moving up, and we're not getting oil prices moving up. So that is good news for the markets.
The 10-year treasury is basically flat today.
It's flat.
428, yeah.
Waiting for the speakers, I guess, later today. Okay, and the NASDAQ, Amazon's up 0.6%. Workday's up 1.1. Ulta Beauty's up 1.1. So it's not exactly a whitewashing. It's pretty much, once again, it's a few stocks. ASML's getting hit. I'm not quite sure why. It's down 4.6% today. Why ASML is down 4.6. Of course, it's a $635 stock. It's a whale in its own regard. AMD is down 2.2% today, and Broadcom down 2%. So the weakness seems to be in the chips. And Apple, that seems to be the weakness. I'm not seeing much movement in the oil stocks today. They seem to be quiet. And I'm going to call the stock of the day right now Intel, INTC. Okay, now that all of the beans have been counted from the second quarter of 2023, we have some pretty good numbers to begin with. For the upcoming earnings season. I'll be updating that in my newsletter. But more importantly, it's all about annual earnings, especially next year, 2024, and looking out to 2025. There's a lot of unknowns between now and then, but we're just looking at the micro of each individual company, the micro outlook. And when you add up all of those micro outlooks, you get a macro outlook, which is very focused on individual companies and earnings. And yes, the economy will affect it. That's why we watch the economic numbers. But right now, it's all about interest rates and earnings. That's really where it's at. I'll be updating my macro outlook in the newsletter tomorrow. I've got about three or four stocks that I've narrowed down for a featured stock of the week. We try to, if we can, do some under-the-radar stocks if we can find them. And if not, it will be one that's flourishing in today's market environment. Get two free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call to discuss your portfolio, your retirement, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.